Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, we have a special guest tonight. That's right. So we have Peter Eirich is here. Praise the Lord. And I'll just introduce him shortly. I think everyone in the room knows him. But he is a dear friend of ours. And in our house, we know him as Uncle. Maybe some of you know him as Uncle Peter. Today, he was telling us that he is actually, in fact, avuncular. So praise the Lord. Peter was a pastor in the Rosenheim area, correct, Peter? In the Vineyard Church, that actually the ministry is still going on in Germany through us, through Intercourt Ministries, to Germany. And so we're excited how the Lord has tied us with Peter throughout and his family throughout the years and his ministry. So Peter, if you'd come, if you're ready.
This isn't any kind of sermon or anything like that. This is me talking to my friends. I'm so happy to be here again with you guys because this is my family. First and foremost, Joan says hi. I am still married. We are still happy. This will be 40 years. She put up with me, and we had planned this trip all out, and then just a few weeks ago, all of a sudden we found out that her younger sister had to have some emergency surgery, so she is in New England taking care of her. So she sends her greetings, wants everybody to know she loves you guys, remembers you guys, and just is back there taking care of her. And when she told me what was happening, I said, "Grab a flight, go out, go minister. It's time to minister." Plus, it's really cold out there. Hey, here's what I want to do tonight, and just talking to friends. I just want to talk to my friends, to my family. You know, some of you young guys are like looking at me going, "Who is this crazy guy?" But I wanted to talk about, pardon me. I was talking to Patty before. She was like, "Well, what should we do with worship?" And I said, "Well, just let the Spirit of God roll in." So as soon as she hit the first chord, the Spirit of God rolled in, and it was all over for me. So, yeah, there you go. What I want to do tonight is share just a little bit, bring you up to date on what's going on with me, because it's like a good format to do it, why not? And then talk to you a little bit about the kingdom as I've taught before, and then I want to, on a kind of an individual level, and then on a fellowship level, a level that meets this faith community where it is now, and in the larger context. So that's kind of have three parts. Where I'm at. Personally, after we came back from the States, from Germany, as you know, I went and became a police officer and lost my mind. Well, I retired from that. Turns out just in time, because at the last year, I had some major health issues that landed me in intensive care for 4 days. And yeah, long story short, it was, you know, it was a good friend of mine was there, and that's why I'm here. And if he wasn't there, I wouldn't be here. So some of you are going, darn. No, just kidding. It was just, it's now it's just a matter of, in my youth, I've been reading John about the different stages. And in my youth, I was like, you know, okay, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to plant a church. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. And now I'm just like, okay, Lord, I got an extra day. What do you want to do? You know, I'm good. And finding more and more that that dynamic is probably even more scriptural than the way I was doing the first thing. Oh, well. At that time, I had some pretty, during that health crisis, it wasn't, I didn't see any lights. You know, there was no train coming for me. It was just like, holy. But afterwards, after I got home from the hospital, the Lord spoke to me through some pretty substantial prophetic dreams. And they weren't your directional dreams, like, you know, go to Zamboanga and harvest bananas and preach the gospel. But it was some pretty specific stuff that I'm really, really grateful for. And a lot of it majorly was centered around Mark and Patty and you guys and just ministry there. So I'm real happy about that. So that's why I'm here now. That's why when I came out, I apologize that first time I came out and I didn't get to see you guys, but some other things happened, and it's a long story, but you're always on my heart and you're always in my prayers. If you have a Bible, if you turn it to Mark chapter 12, I want to go there for just a second. I don't even remember how long ago it was that I came and taught on this here, on the Shema.
Did you do something at our house?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was a while ago. So what I want to do is kind of reheat that just for a minute. And what I mean by reheat is talk about that again on an individual basis real quickly, just to, so that everybody's, so we're kind of on the same page, and then it exploded a little bit further into a community setting. Now, Jesus, when in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34, the scribes came up to Jesus and they heard, you know, a big dispute going on. And they came to the Messiah. They came to the rabbi. They didn't call him Messiah. They called him the rabbi. And they asked him, which one is the greatest commandment of all? And he went through the recited the Shema, which is Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, which we're going to read. And after that entire reading, it goes down to verse 34. And I'm sorry, verse 32, there was a scribe, one of the scribes heard him say all that, and his response was, you are right, teacher, you have truly said that he is one, there is no one beside him, and to love him with all the heart and all the understanding and all the strength and to love your neighbor as yourself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus, this is my point, when Jesus saw that answer, this is what he said. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So humor me here. What comes to your mind when you think of the kingdom of God? What are some of the words? Heaven. Okay. Angels? Clouds? Okay. What?
Fans.
Love.
Kingdom
of God is
righteousness, peace, and joy.
Okay, what else? Kingdom of God.
No sickness, no death.
Okay.
The throne of God.
True. Throne of God. Millennial reign. Okay. His presence. So One of the cool things about this church is it's not biblically illiterate like a lot of other churches these days. Like, Bible? What do we need a Bible for? Yeah. In German, it says Königreich Gottes, the reign and rule. So, heaven is where, in eternity, we picture God reigning and ruling. Throne is where God sits. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what flows through it. But it is where he reigns, okay? Where God reigns and where he rules. Now, Jesus, interesting enough, talked a lot about the kingdom of God, the reign and the rule of God, so that sometimes we lose, not we, but sometimes the Christian church, just real blunt, lose that whole concept of him reigning and ruling, him coming and doing that which he does on the earth. You know, you go through church history, you know, who are the ones that brought redemption and lift? It was the church. Now, the church isn't the kingdom. It's the agent of the kingdom. It's that body of people that brings it. But it brings along with it how God does reign and rule on the earth. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But this is the key point that I made, and we're going to talk about on an individual level now. How do you live in the kingdom? Well, when Jesus spoke these words, the scribes said, that should be kingdom life. And Jesus said, that's correct. And so here's what he said, by way of review from however many years ago. Which one's the most important commandment? Okay. Now, the Jews were all about God reigning and ruling. They were the people that God brought out of Egypt, destroyed their persecutors in the Red Sea, brought them forth, and said, okay, now I am your God, I am your king, and through me, the restoration of the reign and rule on God on earth will come. Okay? So, their restoration involved the observance of Torah, the observance of all 600 whatever laws there were. Okay? Now, so they come to Jesus and go, okay, well, you're setting up this kingdom. What's the most important law, commandment? And Jesus says, well, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Lord God, the King. Okay? When in Rome, the Christians didn't get in trouble because they were worshiping Jesus. They were fine with that. You want to worship Jesus? He's risen from the dead? Knock yourself out. You want to worship tapioca pudding? Knock yourself out. Caesar is Lord. This is what got them into trouble. When they came and said, okay, Augustus Caesar, son of Julius Caesar being proclaimed divine, and now his son, Augustus Caesar, reigning and ruling, bringing throughout the Roman world peace and safety. He reigns and rules. You guys say you have another king? No, that boat won't float. So here's Jesus saying, there is one God, there is one king, there is one Lord. So from the beginning, he was talking about you getting saved, but he was talking about much more than you getting saved. Yes. Okay. So how do we as individuals live that way? Well, here's the command. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your cardia, with all of your soul, okay, with all of your psuche, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In times past, I've taught, I've taught that this is the kingdom flow of kingdom life. As an individual, we get so messed up in our Christian life. What's that thing that will bring us back? What's that reset button? What's that thing that will bring us back into balance? loving the Lord with all of your heart is primary. The heart is the cardia, the center of passion, the center of worship. Okay? It is what is so valuable to us. I do something wrong? You kick me out? I've been kicked out of better places than this. So, all that just to say, it's worship. I just spoke to a friend who I've known since the 70s. We came to faith about the same time. And he's struggling. And his big thing he wanted to talk about was, what's the nature of evil? My answer to him was, who gives a rat's behind? Yeah. You know? Who cares? Oh, I gotta know, what's the nature of evil? Can we talk about? No. I have a good friend who, just as we sang, I come back to again and again, who bared it all for me. You know, that's it. If you don't have that, you don't have that. Then, you know, go whistle in the dark for your nature of evil. There's somebody who died and took every shame and guilt on himself. That's why I spontaneously, and we all spontaneously at times, explode into worship. We just go, oh, thank you, God, for saving me. It was awesome when I got out of the hospital. It wasn't awesome. It was horrible. But they pumped me so full of steroids. Oh, geez. It's like, okay, here's what we do with that, with asthma attacks like this, severe. We give you so much, you know, steroids. I'm like, you know. So I'm out of the hospital, like, you know, driving around steroids is great because, oh, Jesus, I love you. You're so wonderful. What the hell are you doing? It's like, doc, you got to get me off this stuff. I'm going nuts. My poor mother-in-law, after I got out of the hospital, I'm like, meat. I need meat, meat, meat. Joan goes, what do you want? I go, go buy me a rack of ribs. So I'm in the kitchen, I'm eating ribs. And at that time, my mother-in-law, my God bless her saintly 80-year-old mother-in-law, is walking through, and she's living with us at the time. She goes, oh, those look good. I gotta get off this stuff. This is crazy. Honey, here are my guns. Go lock them up. I'm gonna shoot the neighbors. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just, oh. So anyway. So we start in passion. We start in worship. They're spontaneous, and there are plans, and there are corporate and individual points of worship where we just go, Lord, you know, this is it. This is who I am. I'm yours, you know. I'm just yours. I'm yours. You bought me. I'm yours. I don't have any other questions. Thank you. Thank you for buying me. What do you want? And then he says, then love the Lord with all of your soul, your suke, your seat of security and significance, who you are and what you're worth. When you look in the mirror and you go, okay, you know, when I look in the mirror anymore, I go, Dad, what are you doing here? But your seat of who you are and what you're worth. So that comes from worship. Because as I worship, I'm a child of God. Why? Because of his love. Just as Israel was told, just as the nation of Israel was told, I chose you because I chose you. You weren't better. You weren't stronger. You were probably more stiff-necked and more obnoxious. But because I chose you, I chose you. I put my love on you. And now I'm going to make you a sign to the nations. So I come down, I go, I am, you know, I'm not more handsome, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm a child of God. Yep. Yes. My seat of security, of significance, who I am and what I'm worth, yes. So that when the world is saying you are this, I can stand there and go, you're wrong. I know who I am. I love him with all of my soul. My seat of security and significance is secured in him. Heart, soul, mind. Now, that goes into loving him with your whole mind is surrendering to him your logic processes. There is kingdom logic throughout the word. Look at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes isn't a line of rules, you know. Meek my ass. Sorry, did I say that? You know, it is when God sends in the shock troops, that's who he sends in. That is the way that the bearers of the kingdom of God bear themselves. That's the logic. If you have a need, you give. Okay? That's how you receive. You know, the logic of the world, if you have a need, you go get a gun, rob a liquor store. You know, that's... The kingdom logic is entirely different. But you know what? It's empowered by the power of God. That's why those promises come forth and are, pardon me, and are so powerful in our lives. We walk by that kingdom. We test those words. We walk in that word. We walk in the grace. We walk in the promises. That's the kingdom of logic for me. That's the way it works out for me. You know? And that logic expands in my mind and becomes my... that controlling thing in me. Yep. So then my strength, love him with all of that body which he has given to me, which even though we face struggles, is renewed day by day. We receive strength day by day. Yeah, none of us gets out alive, but we get out in a lot better shape than people in the world. Yes. Have you talked to the people in the world? They're not just fighting against the decay of this. They're fighting against the world killing itself.
Yes.
The world cooperating with the power of death.
Yes.
So on the individual level, that's how we walk it. It's like, and then it concludes with loving your neighbor as yourself. And so with all of that lifestyle in us, then we move right into loving our neighbor as ourself, which is that expression of the kingdom mercy on the streets in our lives. So that's the way it works on an individual level. Now, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 real quick, and if you want, you can keep your thumb and Mark, or, you know, if this is really boring, there's new apps, and, you know, you can play Candy Crush during the sermon. I don't care. So here I am as a Christian, and if I turn those things around, if I turn that concept around, love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, which turn that into just a bunch of rules, then I will start to try and do the right thing by loving my neighbor, and then I will utilize all of my strength to love my neighbor, which taxes my logic, because I'm going, this doesn't make any sense, because I'm just getting tired trying to be religious and love this guy who doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm irritated that I have to do this Christian stuff, that affects my soul, my seat of security and significance, going, you know, what the heck am I doing this for? I could be having a lot more fun with my buddies. And which really results, boils down to my passion. What's the center of my passion, that thing that is the center of my love, is my own life. And I want to be comfortable. And kaboom, welcome to the new Gnosticism.
Yep.
Gnosticism we thought was gone thousands of years ago, and we didn't have to talk about that anymore. Kaboom, there it is. Now we have presidential candidates who are holding the holy book on, well, repentance is, you know, outdated. I've never repented. Yep. You're just Gnostic.
That's right.
So here's the deal. Now I want to translate that into and share with you, as my brothers and sisters of Inner Court Ministry Fellowship and Christ Church International, that dynamic now worked into a community. Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, this is Galatians 1:1, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who were with me, to the churches of Galatia. Now, here's one of my main points with this that I've been considering as I look at this. It's all well and good, and it's very important and good to have the dynamic of kingdom life as an individual. You need it. We need it. when we're walking, you know, down the street, we literally bring the reign and the rule of God with us where we are.
Yes, that's true.
We're not perfect. You know, that's not the point. You know, have you read Acts? Bunch of retards. You know, I mean, really. Just, you did what? You know? You know, come on, don't tell me that, you know, Paul didn't lose it. And, anyway. We're flawed. And Jesus goes, I know. That's why I'm using you to express my kingdom on the earth. Galatians. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. He's talking to churches. He's talking to you individually. Take every word of God as a rhema word, as a promise.
Yes.
But he's talking to churches too.
Yes.
And here's what's going on. This is probably the earliest letter that Paul wrote, one of the earliest Pauline epistles that we have, of taking the gospel and laying it out in Pauline fashion. And what I mean by Pauline is just that he's constructed it. And he's talking to a church of churches in southern Galatia that have been affected by, that he had gone in and planted those churches. And subsequently, we now call Judaizers, came into those churches and said, this is all well and good that you guys are now Christians, but now to be real Christians, you have to follow the law. You have to be circumcised. And that got all the guys' attention real quick. You know, hey, wait a minute here. And he's coming in now with this letter of rebuke, exhortation, and also correction, and saying, no, here's where it's at. He starts, the chapter one lays out kind of the introduction to the error, but chapter six, interesting, because it kind of lays out ground rules of some real basic ground rules of community life. So here's what I'm saying with all that. He's talking to churches. There's a way that the church is called to be an agent of the kingdom, that those that bear the kingdom of God, that bring the kingdom of God into communities, into states, into cities, wherever they are and however they affect, and that process is a real similar process to what I just quoted and talked about in Mark chapter 12, but on a different dynamic. Jesus said, Paul said, grace to you and peace in verse 3, and I'm going to go back to Mark 12 in a minute. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Who gave himself for our sins, right? There you go, so we're saved. End of point, right? That's it. So good, we're saved. Let's go to Denny's and have pancakes. There you go. With syrup. Is there any more to that? I'm being facetious. He says, who gave himself for our sins according to deliver us from the present evil age. What other versions do we have of that?
In order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live.
Thank you. What else? Okay. Anybody else got a? Mark, you've got like the New World Translation, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean? Just get us the heck out of here and go to heaven, right? No. Simple answer is no. To deliver us from this present evil age. Not to back out then, deliverance from the present evil age is not, okay, everybody out of the pool, God's going to nuke the place until it glows, and then we'll be in heaven sitting on a cloud.
No.
No, not so much. What's Jesus' last name? Well, it's not Christ. Okay, so when it talks about, when especially Pauline epistles, when he talks about Jesus Christ, he's not, referring to, you know, Mark Spencer. Christ is that title of Messiah, of King that reigns and rules on the earth. He is King of Israel, and now, by extension, because of the Abrahamic covenant, that Abraham was going to be blessed and blessed all the nations of the earth, he was going to be the king of all the earth, and his kingdom would spread across all the earth. Now, it's a period of now and not yet. It's a period of advance and retreat, but still, it's a period of God's reign and his rule. Now, the world will look at us, this present evil age that doesn't understand anything about those dynamics, will use the good old Gnostic argument and the related Gnostic argument of moral equivalence. Okay, so you Christians want to reign and rule. We know what you did in the Crusades, and we know this, and we know that. Well, yeah, admit it, we were flawed. But, have you heard of hospitals?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we did that. Have you heard of universities? Oh yeah, that was us.
Orphanages.
Have you heard of orphanages? Yeah, that was us. That was our team, okay? Have you heard of slavery being abolished? Oh yeah, that was our guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
So take your moral equivalence and, you know, go and talk to yourself about it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fly.
That's right.
It simply logically does not fly. So here's my point with that. He is not delivering us from the present evil age to leave it, but to broadcast and bring his reign and his rule where we are. To bring peace, to bring mercy, to bring restoration. And ultimately, if you read Revelation, heaven's kind of not our home. A new heaven and a new earth. Our home, a restoration of creation. I'm gonna don't want to go in that, but because I'll be here really all night, and we're gonna wrap it up here in 10 minutes, and then do some praying. But my point is that to be rescued from the present evil age means to bring in his reign and his rule where we are, individually and corporately. So I'll go with me just for a second back to Jesus when he says, okay, what is the greatest commandment? Well, that greatest commandment has the personal implications of me going, okay, Lord, here I am worshiping you. And then me going, well, now that I'm a child of God, Lord, my security and significance is from you. I'm yours. And then next to me, I love him with all my mind. That is, Lord, what's the kingdom logic for me? How am I bringing it to my workplace, to my family, to where I'm at, bringing your life, and then strength and on there. Well, that fits with a community of believers too, and you guys are doing such a great job of doing that. First of all, I want to commend you for that. So many churches have a question mark as to, well, why? What is it? What's our, you know, you talk to individuals in the church, like, hey, why does he exist? Well, God bless them, I love American churches, they're great. We have some fantastic faith and everything else, but a lot of it is, well, because of Pastor Bob. You know? Pastor Bob just wrote, you know, the Bible according to Pastor Bob, and everybody's got the Bible according to Pastor Bob, and there it is. And, you know, do you have your Pastor Bob notes? I've got my Pastor Bob notes. Look, they're highlit. Mm-hmm. You know? Hey, do you have your, I've got my, did you listen to the sermon? No, I missed the sermon. Oh, well, you need to listen to the sermon. You need to listen to Pastor Bob, because buy the DVD set, and only $9.95, he'll double the offer, and you get free shipping, and you get Pastor Bob. And hey, did you hear we're having a new Bible school? It's a new Bible school of Pastor Bob. It's awesome. What's that church about?
Mom.
It's the church of Pastor Bob. That's why I was threatening my wife. I'm going to start the church of Pete. It's going to be great. What's the church about? Others, it's like, you know, man, they got the jam and music and they, what is it? Well, what's the greatest commandment? First of all, he is Lord. He is one and he is Lord. This is where he is Lord. That makes a great bumper sticker, but what does it mean? You know? And so corporately we find out what does it mean when he is Lord? Well, practically it's I love the Lord with my whole heart. So this is the place where we come corporately, individually, in small groups, whenever we come together, and we come together and say as a congregation, as a community, we say, hey, you know what? We love you. We love you. And the invisible impact of that is such that we do not see, but we need to understand that that is extremely, it's like a detonation in the city. Okay? And so that expression of that, what does that mean? Well, not everybody's musicians. You know? And well, it means I'm singing the choir. No, worship is much more dynamic than that. It's way more dynamic than that. You know what I'm saying? I express my worship in so many different ways, and I just want to light that fuse and let that go off in your head. Okay, we love the Lord with all our heart. We just love him because he saved us, and he brought a bunch of goofballs like us together, and made his family. This is great. And then what's your security and significance? What is your significance? Who are you? Well, I'm in the Church of Ob. You know, I'm an elder. Well, whoop-de-freaking-do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an elder. Well, great. What does that mean? You know, does that mean, well, I'm an elder, and so here's this, you know, little lady who, you know, doesn't contribute anything, and I'm an elder, and she, no. Our identity is we are the people of God. Right. We are those that bring the reign and the rule of God to this city in ways that it hasn't seen before.
Yep.
In models that have not been discovered before, because you know what? There hasn't been one of us before.
That's right. Yep.
This is a different brush. This is a different model. And it's going to be expressed that way. It's going to be thought out and brought in corporately in ways of thinking that haven't been affected before. Because there's a new generation to understand a new translation of what the kingdom of God is like. And a new strength, a new vitality, a new expression physically of that Jesus is here. John wrote simply John wrote, you know, the big thing, they that deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Well, a news for you. The community of believers, we are God in the flesh. We're it.
Yeah.
God spoke in the past through this guy. He's speaking right now to this city, to this state, through us, to the world, through us. Now, do we say that, you know, haughtily, look at me, hey, I'm this one? No, of course not. Because we know, we sing, every time we sing, we go, you know, why should I benefit? I'm just doing what he says. But at the same time, that's unstoppable. You can't do that, really? Well, you know what? He said I could. So, here it comes. So as a community, then we finally love our neighbor as ourselves. We do those outward expressions of love and concern and kingdom reign and rule on the earth. And that is absolutely, especially now, in where the culture of the United States is right now, you're going to get pushback.
Yeah, boy.
Because Gnosticism, and what I mean by Gnosticism, just real quick, Pete's really bad definition of Gnosticism is that, you know, the world is bad. We have to discover the light, that spiritual spark within us. And from there, we kind of develop ourselves. That's what the world thinks Christianity is. Because the increasing number of nuns, not Catholic sisters, but people who identify as none, who have no idea, have no biblical background, okay? No biblical background, no church background, no idea, but believe themselves to be spiritual.
Yep, mm-hmm. Come on.
That's it. Yep. That's their definition.
Yep.
Now, on a personal level, I know three guys and one young lady. You're not old enough to remember this, you're only 39. Rewind to the 70s when that was the description of me. You know, Christmas in my house was hiding from dad because he came home drunk and beat up my mom. Church, are you kidding? Yeah, I heard there's like some kind of book that you got to read, and I know there's a God. And then here I was running around being my stupid teenage self, and all of a sudden I realized that if I got hit by a bus, I was going to burn forever in hell, and that was a bad thing. And I went, how do I get out of here? And then somebody came up to me and said, hey, would you like to not go to hell? And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And so I repented and went, okay, Jesus, I'm yours. And a lot of our peers did the same thing at the same time, because no one person did that. But the Holy Spirit just came along as a wave and blew everybody into the kingdom of God. And as we always say, you could walk down the street at those times, in those days, and say, hey, would you like a peanut butter sandwich? The person would start crying and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. That's the way it was.
That's where it was. That's where it was.
So in all that, churches around the country, and especially my beloved family, God is setting you in that place. Not as like, okay, we're looking for the Eveco. Thank you. Awakening, that word. That was the other thing about 4 days in ICU, being unconscious is great. Half my brain is like, that is awesome. I love it. Plus, it makes a great excuse. But you just continue to develop the expression of the kingdom of God as people. You have leadership, yes. You have anointed men and women of God that are leading the fellowship, that are not lording the fellowship, they're leading the fellowship.
Yes. Yes.
That's
exactly
right.
They're enabling you. Yeah, it's not a mega church. Yeah, we don't have this or that. I don't care. It's what he says.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? It's what he says. Hey, here's what I did, sir. Talents, you know, anybody, anything. You know. So continue to develop that, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, becoming kingdom more and more in your thought as a community. And however that works out, I don't have specifics, but it's the way the way God's put you right here, right now. You all know that. The way you're expressing it in totally different ways. You know, the way it's being demonstrated in completely different ways. You're right on the beam. If the bush pack comes, great. If the revival comes, great. If it doesn't, great. We just get up and we live in the kingdom every day.
Yes.
Right.
I live in the kingdom every day. What do you want? One thing right now that I know God's speaking to me personally is I don't have to know. Lord, what should I do? What's the word? You don't have to know. Okay. Less to worry about.
Yep.
Let's go eat a sandwich. You know? And at the same time, I know the definition of the hope that's deep with me. So I can look at people and go, hey, he did for you what you could not do for yourself.
Yes.
How's that sound?
That's awesome.
And they go, this is great. I was talking to some friends after I retired from the police department. And I kind of this conclusion came to me. For some of them, I was way too Christian. For others, I wasn't Christian enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You call yourself a Christian, and as a police officer, this is a secret, don't tell anybody. Every now and then, I said bad things. But when things went sideways spiritually, guess where they come?
Yeah.
Guess where they?
Yeah.
Guess how many phone calls I get now? And it's not about, I'm not saying that about me. I'm saying that about, look, we're broken vessels. We're this and that. We're irregular, you know? When you go into the when you go into the outlet store, you know, we're the shirts that are like this, you know? Yeah, I like, how did they know I've got one longer arm than that? That's perfect, you know? And that's the point. There's that person, there's that situation where that's exactly what's needed. And this church is exactly what's needed at the right time, the right place. So what I want to do is just ask the Lord to come minister to us for a couple of minutes. That's okay with you. If you don't, you know, feel free to get up, walk around. Yeah. We're just going to wait on the Lord. Because I asked the Lord, what do you want to do? And he said, you don't need to know. I'm like, I'm good. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God, just come. We invite you. We don't command you, we invite you. That which empowers us to be King, to be Jesus on the earth, come and empower us. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. As Paul said, he didn't receive this word from any man. Lord, tonight we don't receive prayer from anyone. We received from you. Spirit of God, come. Come more, Lord. More, Lord. What's happening, this is just a Christian practice of being quiet before the throne, as you all know already, but just to describe it to you. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God, come. Holy Spirit of God, come. Lord, where there's dryness, come and bring rivers of living water. Not just as an expression, but come and touch and flow. Lord, where there's fatigue, come and bring restoration, bring rest. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Lord. Be Lord in this place. Be our Lord. Be our friend, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mercy over us, Lord. Mercy over us. Mercy. Mercy, Lord. in a merciless world, bring us mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we're your sheep. We're yours. We're yours, Lord. Hold us to your face and kiss our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Embrace us, Lord. Let your kingdom presence be in us and through us and on upon us. And let that Spirit of God, may that bring everything that we need. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We love you. You are so precious in his eyes. You are so beloved to his heart. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we quiet our own souls now within us as a weaned child. We say to our own cares and thoughts and concerns that would, being that, would be that distraction now. Just be still. Be still. You're okay. Spirit of God that communes with your body, that communes with your church, come, commune with us now. Just practicing being in his presence. Not interceding. Not begging, not justifying. Just being here. Thank you, Father. It is good to know you, Lord. It is good to know that the God of creation and the God of the cross brought all together in his resurrection and now loves to fellowship with us. And so tonight, as we go forth, Spirit of God, minister, continue to minister, and do that which your heart desires in us individually and us as your community in this city. Amen. Sorry. Remember John Wayne in the movie? What was the greatest story ever told? There's a part. There was an old actor for you guys. His name was John Wayne. But as he's looking at the crucified Christ, he looked at him and went, he played the Roman centurion. And he looked at him and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So I'll leave you with that.
All right, anything else, Dad, that you'd like to do? Yeah. Yeah, here's a fresh idea. Everybody's got friends on Facebook. If you haven't liked our page yet, Christ Church International, go ahead and like it. We got videos we're posting. We got, you know, pictures of Peter on there already. But here's an idea. You could actually invite your friends to church through Facebook. Why not? So, yes, that'd be a good idea. Say, hey, that's right. Yeah. So I thought that was really powerful how God is expressing the kingdom of God here through us. And so the hashtag for downtown Longmont is own downtown Longmont. And the Lord, his kingdom is here, and it's being expressed in a very unique way, guys. That was a fresh word I heard from Peter. And he's saying that the Lord has put this church, that means you, here for a reason to express the kingdom of God in a very unique way. And we're the kingdom of God. We're living in the kingdom. Sometimes it just feels like we're just living our life, but you're in the kingdom, and the Lord is doing something through you. The prophetic word for the year is that this place is an epicenter of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And the river, yeah. The river is flowing in, flowing out, and is washing, is bringing sinners in, and as they come in, their lives are radically changed. And as they flow out, they go touch other sinners and bring them in, and they come, and they get changed, and they go out. And they go get more, and they come, and they go out, and they're changed. So praise the Lord. So those two words, river and the epicenter. Amen. Well, let's conclude. I'll just pray real quick. Father, we thank you right now for the word that has gone forth from our brother Peter. I thank you, Lord, it's not going to be stolen from our hearts. It's going to produce fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And Lord, I thank you for preparing us even right now for tomorrow morning. Those who are here, those who aren't. Lord, we pray that you'd bring people, Lord, who are thinking about trying out this church. I pray you bring them, Lord, draw them. And we thank you for your anointing. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do something unexpected, something surprising tomorrow. And I bless my brothers and sisters. We thank you that your presence is with us. Your favor is on us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.